desire and interest in your prayers tonight. I realize that three services and lunch in between, it can be a sleepy time, but I also recognize that the Holy Spirit does not want this to be wasted time. And I am not interested in wasting time when we come into the presence of God. So I desire your prayers, and I would tonight that we each one consider our own life. I've written on the board here, a church on fire. Are you on fire tonight? People can look around and say the church is not what it's supposed to be. The church is not what it used to be. The church is not what it ought to be. But my question tonight is, who is the church? What is the church? The church is composed of every blood-washed one, is it not? And if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, then if we're going to start talking about the condition of the church, we need to start doing some self-examination. And I would, right here in this local congregation, in each of our local places, that people could look on it and say, that's a church on fire. Well, you may start looking around and think, I'm not sure if they're on fire. The question is, do you have the fire burning deep in your soul tonight? There is an experience with God that you can be on fire for God. And it's not just during revival meeting. It's not just during camp meeting, but there is a consistent experience in the Holy Ghost that you can be on fire for God in the good times and in the rough times. God wants a church on fire tonight. In Matthew, in the 5th chapter, Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 14. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, who did He say was the light of the world? Ye, that's talking about you tonight. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is not tonight about living in such a way that we are a self-righteous people. That if I can do some good deeds, I can get my name on a plaque somewhere. But He said, I want you to let your light shine that people could look on would glorify who? The Father which is in heaven. This isn't about exalting ourselves. It's not about doing something to get people's attention. This is about doing God's work that the world can look on and identify you must be serving the Father. You know, the devil would like us to be lazy spiritually tonight. The devil would like to rock us to sleep. The enemy would like us just to get complacent in our spirit, go from Sunday to Sunday just being good people. But the Lord is looking for a people that are on fire tonight. And I believe that part of why we're here tonight, we call these meetings revival meetings. But it's already been brought out, a revival takes more than just the Holy Spirit. A revival takes you and it takes me opening up our heart, responding to the dealing of God in our life. God wants His church. He wants those that have been washed in the blood to be that city that can't be hid. But folks, we live in a very dark time, do we not? But you know, when it gets the darkest, it's when the light ought to shine the brightest. And if we sit back and say, well, the world's just so dark, then our life, individually, our families, and as a congregation, as a body of Christ, we ought to be shining bright in this dark world. But if we're just kind of blending in an obscurity in the shadows, folks, something is wrong. And we can talk about church problems, we can talk about congregation problems, but a church on fire starts with you individually being on fire for God. That's where it starts. And it does not behoove me to come amongst God's people with a critical attitude of, well, they're not measured up here and they're not living like they ought to be. If I'm not living holy, righteously, and I don't have the fire of the Holy Ghost in my life. But too many times it's the people that are most critical that need the most help. Amen? It's those many times, but it starts with me. I have seen people come to camp meeting and get up and exhort and try to get everybody stirred up. And I'm thinking, where were you on Sunday morning? Where were you during the revival meeting? Where were you during prayer meeting? And then you go to camp meeting and all of a sudden you're trying to tell people how to live for God. Something's wrong with that. There's an experience tonight that we need to get with God that we're on fire, not just at church, but when we go home through the week, that we've got something burning deep in our spirits. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. By definition, church, it comes from the Greek word ecclesia, and it means what? Called out. A people that are called out from sin, called out from ourselves, called out from the world. That's what the church is supposed to be. You can put any name on the door you want, but if you haven't been called out of sin, you're just another group of people. Folks, if all we are tonight is just following a past history in a traditional pattern of living that has been passed down from generation to generation, we don't have what God wants. You see, I'm not going to make it to heaven just trying to emulate my parents. I need a personal experience with God that burns deep inside because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It needs to supersede mom and dad. It needs to supersede, as good as your background and your history may be, you must have something personal tonight that's burning deep. And if you're just trying to fit into the group, you're going to miss the joy that you find in truly serving God because you're serving the wrong thing. A light. You know, a light, we can look and say, where's it? Let's turn this off. Is that a light? It is. But you know what? There's got to be power to it for it to shine, doesn't it? We can talk about, well, we are God's people and we are a light in the world. Well, we may be a light, but is it turned on? We've got to be plugged into a power source, folks. And that's where it starts individually. How have you been conducting yourself through the week? When you get frustrated and the burdens of life are weighing you down, you get away by yourself and no church people are around and nobody knows what you're doing, nobody knows where you're going. What kind of light are you being then? The Lord wants a people that have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light that people could look on and say, these people are on fire for God. And if people can't say you're on fire for God, the Lord wants to rekindle the flame tonight. I believe the enemy is trying to squash the presence of God in our midst. I believe tonight that the enemy is doing all he can in homes, in individual lives, and in congregations to get us just to relax and just go with the flow and be at ease where we're at. And the Lord is still wanting a church that's on fire. All right, so we can look at other people, but we're going to have to look at our own life. Have you ever wondered, my children have asked me before, they say, Dad, they go to a meeting or go somewhere and they say, Dad, is so-and-so, are they saved? Have you ever had someone ask you that? In some people, you say, well, they don't profess. But you know, sometimes we just have to say, well, children, you just leave that between them and God. Because frankly, I'm not sure. What about your life? I'm talking about more than what you testify to, if you, Lord help us, if you ever testify. But I'm saying that there is a place there. It must go beyond. What kind of experience do you have? Folks, I don't want my life to be in question to people that really know me. And I'm going to go a step further. And I say to my wife, who was sitting right here, and I wish he were, if my wife and my children don't have confidence in my walk with God, I don't have any business being up here. Because they know me the best. They know the way I live. They know my attitudes. They know my spirit. And I know there's sometimes there can be husbands and wives that are trying to get each other and all that. But I'm talking about those that know you best ought to have confidence in your life if you're living like you ought to. And if you're having to cover up something and you kind of don't want to testify because your husband and wife is sitting beside you and they know how you were acting through the week, I want to say God has a better experience for you tonight. There's an experience tonight that you can live holy, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. How can we talk about a church on fire without talking about the power of the Holy Ghost tonight? You remember Peter. Jesus died, then He rose again, and He was not with His disciples for a period of time. You remember what Peter decided to do? He wanted to go fishing, Sister Janice. He said, I'd go a fishing. He wasn't really what we would call backsliding. But Jesus wasn't there in the flesh anymore. He had left. This is a man that had forsaken his nets. He had left everything to follow the Lord. But now things have changed. And he said, I'd go a fishing. And do you realize he had an influence on others? And they said, well, we're going too. You want to see a dead people. Let's just all be dead. We have an influence on each other. You get the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life, you will have an influence in your home. You get the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life, you will have an influence on the congregation. But you begin to get spiritually lazy, you are also going to have an influence. I think I'm going to go fishing. I'm not leaving God, but I'm going back to where I was comfortable before I made changes in my life. And they went with Him. But after Jesus appeared to them again, and Jesus began to teach them, and they went there in the upper room and were waiting as Jesus had instructed, and the Holy Ghost came down like as a fire. See? A church on fire. The Holy Spirit came down. I never read about Peter going fishing again. I don't read about Peter denying the Lord anymore, but I find a Peter who had a rekindled passion and zeal and purpose for the kingdom of God. Amen. He had a renewed purpose. Folks, the fire of the Holy Ghost will bring life tonight. The Holy Spirit came to give purpose. He came to give direction. He came to make alive. He came that the flame would burn bright within us. And I believe that one of the biggest needs among saved people is the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
How can we go out to the world if all I'm doing is spending all of my time struggling with myself? I need a greater power to enable me to say no to Michael and yes to God and then go to start doing something for the Lord. A church on fire is what God's looking for tonight. It's what He craves. It's His desire and His purpose. But where are you in your life? Is your congregation, please just keep your responses to yourself right now. Is your congregation on fire? Let's start with ourselves then. Are you on fire for God tonight? Because the church is composed of the saved. That's what the church is. Do you have the fire burning in your spirit tonight? If not, I want to encourage you as we continue to look into the Word a little bit. Lord, help us and to revive the fire. Revive purpose in my life. Help me to have a renewed dedication and zeal for the things of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans in the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading with verse 11. The Scripture says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful. And that covers a lot of area, but folks, if a church is on fire, they're not going to be slothful. Slothful is lazy. It's just indolent and casual, without a lot of purpose, without a lot of direction, and I'm being good, and I'm not sinning, and I'm just kind of going with the flow, so to speak. Folks, we're going to have something greater if we're going to make it the whole way. A church on fire is a people that are not spiritually lazy.
That's true.
He said fervent in what? in spirit. All right now, it's easier to talk about everybody else, right? But again, this is talking about me now. Are you fervent in your spirit? That word fervent means hot. It means glowing. It actually referred to water that would boil or metals when they're heated and they would get that reddish glow. That's where that word fervent comes from. Are you fervent? Are you glowing tonight with the presence of God? And I'm not talking about just being ecstatic because everything's going good. It reminds me, there was a man years ago as a child. I remember a young man sat on the front bench and he was getting ready to get married. And he was having some difficult days with his spouse-to-be. And we could always tell in service if things were going good or things were kind of rough that day. Because they were both at camp meeting, they were getting married at the end of the meeting. And one day he'd be sitting up there rejoicing and just praising the Lord. In the next service it was like, what's the matter with him? Things were kind of tense around that place. I want to tell you something tonight. There is an experience with God that supersedes the difficulties and circumstances of life. I'm not talking about emotionalism now. I'm talking about something deep within the Spirit that enables you to still praise and have focus and purpose in your walk with God. A church on fire. Current and up to date. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, as opposed to serving self, as opposed to serving the world. Who are you serving tonight? And I know as God's people, as people have a lot of truth, you can sit back and say, oh yes, I'm serving God. But whether you are serving God is indicated by the fruit of your life. The results. What's happening in your life? Where are you spending it? Where's the focus of your time? Where's the focus of your energy? What is it that excites you? What is it that just, you know, you can, there are certain people you know, their button to push to get them to talk. What button does someone have to push for you to get you to open your mouth and talk until you won't hardly be quiet? I want to tell you tonight, we ought to be excited about the things of God tonight. We ought to have such a love for God, fervent in desires for the lost. I want to sacrifice now. When you're fervent in something, you are willing to sacrifice for a cause. How much have you been sacrificing for the cause of God tonight? You say, well, I'm not a minister. Yes, we are all to be ministers. We are all to be ministers. God has a place for all of us in the body of Christ. Are you on fire? Or have you been fervent in your zeal and in your purpose tonight? Are we a people that believe what we're about? Have you ever had someone ask you where you go to service? And you kind of cleared your throat and And you start making excuses. Well, we're just a little group of people. Are we ashamed? Are we ashamed of what we believe? If you're ashamed of what you believe, you need to start believing something different. I am not ashamed, as Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Anything I preach and teach, I want it to be backed up by the Word of God, that when people say, why do you teach that? Or why do you live that way? I can say, because this is what the Bible teaches. I've got something that's unchanging. And yes, holiness means something practical. You say, well, I believe in the philosophy of holiness and have no practical application. I don't think you really believe in holiness. But if you believe in holiness, it's going to touch and permeate every decision of my life. Everything I do, there's a reason for it. And I don't just have to go, and please don't get offended at me, because I appreciate our heritage. But I don't just have to go to an old book on my shelf in the back and blow off the dust and say, oh, what do we believe? Okay, I guess this is what we believe.
So I'll do that. I want to be able to go to something that's unchanging, that does not change with time, that is steadfast, that I can take this gospel and I can preach the same message in any country I go to, because it's something that's real and applicable in our current time in society. Folks, truth doesn't change. You say there are traditions and there are things that are good traditions, but I've got a problem when someone says, well, we do this because this is just a tradition. If it's just a tradition, you better get a little deeper than that and find out why is it a tradition. Amen. And if I begin to do differently, is there going to be some areas now I'm actually violating the Word of God? You understand? Living for God is close living, saints. It's close living. People say, well, people that compromise say that, well, they're going a different direction. Who are you serving? Are you on fire and fervent for the Lord this morning? Tonight, Lord help us. Do you have a love for truth? You know what I'm finding? We're living in a time, it's easy for people to get offended as a preacher. Have y'all noticed that? Maybe y'all never happens here. Now, I haven't been talking to Brother Carl either, so if it is, you talk to God about it. But I'm finding we're living in a time it's a lot easier to just get offended at the preacher than to get down to do business with God. And I'll tell you, Lord help us. The time will come. We're taught in Timothy. Let's just read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, in the 3rd verse, he said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. My wife shared a song with me recently. It's a fairly new song. It was someone saying, tell me the truth, preacher. Don't just make me feel good. Tell me the truth. Do you want that out of the ministers here tonight? Do you want the ministers to tell you the truth, or do you just want them to say it's okay, just live how you want to live, and we're just all trying to get to heaven? Lord, help us to tell the truth tonight. And I will say the enemy is battling hard against the ministry. The enemy is battling hard to try to cause them to quiet down on issues of truth because people are offended. And I'll tell you, maybe I can handle it, but when the preacher starts preaching against something that touches my grown children's life, people coming out of their seat. My children might get offended at what was preached. Folks, if it's truth, truth is what brings deliverance. And if we don't have the truth in its fullness, we're going to end up in compromise and we're going to miss heaven. If someone gets offended because of personality problems, there's grace for that tonight. There's grace for personality differences. But if it's an issue of truth, we need to submit ourselves and yield ourselves. That, Lord, I know maybe it's hard to swallow, but it's right and it's true. And if people go away offended, I still want them to know there's a place that they can come and hear the gospel. They'll hear the truth. And they can come back 20 years later and still know there's people that love them. See, love is truth. There's people that love them, and there's a people that are still preaching and teaching the same thing. Hasn't changed. Same Word of God. Church on Fire is a church that is hungry for truth. There's a place for encouragement. We need that. There's a place for challenge. And there's a place for correction. And there's a place for instruction. You will find a church, a collective body of people that have been called out, that is on fire, will be a people that will rejoice at the preaching of truth. Truth brings deliverance. And when you submit yourself to truth, do you know the fire just burns a little bit brighter? Lord, bring it, truth on. Lord, give us the truth. Love of truth. I want to read a passage out of 1 Chronicles. A church on fire. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This was speaking about David. And he had gathered all of the material together for the building of the temple. And he wasn't equipped. God did not want him to actually do the physical building because he was a man of war. And so it fell to Solomon to build the temple. And his father David had prepared all of the things for it. And in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, in the first verse, it said, "Furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God had chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord." The work of God, folks, is still great. There's work that needs to be done. There are areas that are going, there are needs in congregations. There are needs in the work of God in so many different places that are going unfilled. The work of God is great, folks. It's great. And you will find, though, a church that is on fire with a people with a burden and a zeal and a desire that, "Lord, I am offering what I have. I'm not going to push down doors. I'm not going to go do things that the Lord hasn't called me to do. But Lord, I offer myself to You to use me how You want." I remember when I was a young man going down to the altar and praying in afternoon service. And I was dedicating and consecrating, "Lord, what do You want me to do?" And I remember a brother came and prayed with me, and he had things to say like, "Empty the trash," and stuff. And I was like, "Empty the trash? I want to work for God. Do you know what I do in my home congregation? I empty the trash. I'll go and collect and try to clean up after things." And sound familiar, Brother Carl? The work of God, it doesn't matter where it is. If it means taking the trash out, "Lord, I'm going to take the trash out, but I want to do something to be an asset. I want to do something to be a help and a support to the work of God." How are we doing? Are you on fire this morning? Or this evening? Well, go check the bathroom trashes. I didn't check them, but do you know there's work to be done? Chilled Sunday school. Do you know there's a great need for people on fire to teach Sunday school? If that means getting more than getting up on Sunday morning, say, "Okay, I guess I got to teach a class," and getting some book somewhere and say, "Well, what do we need to do today?" But a people with a burden, someone that's going to study, someone that's going to look to God for anointing to minister to the children or adults or whatever class needs to be taught. Church on fire, or just are we getting lazy? When we come, "Lord, bless us with Your presence tonight. Lord, help us to love the truth. Help us to have a vision of the work of God." Folks, God needs you tonight. Amen. Do you realize that each and every one of you are important to the work of God? But you need to have fire. You need to get on fire. Stay on fire. Don't bury your talent. You know, when the Lord calls, and He will, and He does, the Lord will not call you to do anything except He give you the power and the strength to do it. I find that in my own life, I have found that in areas that my flesh drew back from, but it was God's will, that there was great fulfillment in doing what God wanted. I wonder how many unfulfilled lives there are. Do you know, a church on fire, it'll start taking care of some of those vacancies and some of those empty places in the congregation, in our own spiritual lives. Because now I have purpose. I have a reason. I have a zeal for it. How are you doing tonight? How are we doing individually? I'll be specific. How is this local congregation doing? Well, I don't think that... No. What about me? Am I on fire for God? Folks, the Lord wants each one of us in our respective congregations to be a church on fire.
Right.
Zeal, purpose, dedication, consecration. And when it comes time for service, are we active or are we absent? You say, "Well, Brother Michael, just leave that one alone." A church on fire are people that I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss. I want to tell you, a couple Wednesday nights ago, we have what they call prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. And we had service and we have Bible studies in some of our prayer meeting nights. Some is testimonies and sometimes we have Bible studies. And the other night I got up to give a Bible study and I got up front. I had my notes and I had my Bible and had a little podium up front. And I just felt like the Lord told me, I don't want you to do that. Some began to testify, and I felt like the Lord wanted me just to sit down. I sat down. You know, the Lord paid us such a special visit. I would not have missed being there. Young lady went down to the altar to receive the Holy Spirit that night. I'm so glad the presence of God was there. We are so desperate for the presence of the Lord, but folks, we're going to have to listen. And it grieves my heart when, and if you'll allow me to just give you hard examples, is that okay? My children, we leave somewhere and my children ask me, they say, Dad, is so-and-so part of the congregation? Because they're not hardly ever there. And I don't think they realize how much they're gone. Have you ever really considered how much you're in service? This isn't meant to get anybody in trouble. I want to challenge you tonight. Because I think sometimes that people, if they would actually start counting up how much they're, these people there may be a third of the time. And if you ask them, they probably say most of the time. But I wonder how much we look at our own life and say, Lord, have I been? I don't want to miss. Because I know sometimes maybe you don't get as much out of something. But next time it might be more for you. See? The Holy Spirit has a way of ministering through different vessels and different ways and different times. And I don't want to miss being in the presence of God. And when He said, the Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Folks, that's the manner of many. But do you think that's a church on fire or a people that are focused on other things? I remember after we left Shawnee, and we were traveling a whole lot. There was a Wednesday night that some things, I had a lot of burdens on my heart, and you know, there's always a reason not to come to service. And I remember working and I was tempted just to, I have things I've got to get done. And there are some things I really didn't want to face anyway if I went to church. I thought, that's the devil. That's the reason people don't go sometimes. I sat where they sat. And I was like, Lord, I cannot afford to do that because it could become a habit. It could start getting easy because there's always something else. Folks, I want to challenge you tonight. And you say, well, when you come, it's just kind of dead. Wait, who's dead? If you're coming and things are dead, it's time for you to get hold of the fire and bring something to service with you. It's time for you to come and start testifying and telling what God has done in your life. Well, God hasn't been doing much. Then, Lord, minister to me and work in my life. A church on fire, folks. We live in such a dark time. We need each other. I need your strength tonight. We go to services. It might be prayer meeting or another service. And someone gets up and testifies. And maybe I was battling something, a little discouraged. And someone testified is what God did in their life. Is, Lord, you can do that for me. And then maybe next time they'll be encouraged by something I have to share. Folks, that we need each other. Don't think that you're not missed if you're not here. Don't think that you're not needed. We need you tonight. God needs you tonight, and we need each other. Because all of us have something different to contribute. With all of our different personalities, you know, it's such a blessing there's only, and don't you all don't have to agree too heartily, but it's a good thing there's only one of me. Because, you know, you all can probably only handle so much of that. But you know, the fact of the matter is it probably applies to you too. God made each one of us unique.
That's right.
And there's a place for you to fill. And it's all of us coming together, filling our place in the body that the world can look on and see something beautiful. But if we start getting out of our place and we're not being responsible and we're not on fire, people might come in and think they're traveling through a wax museum. Something that used to be, There used to be life here. It's an imitation of something that used to be. Folks, I want something more than that tonight. I want to be part. I want to be in the place spiritually that when people come in our midst, they can observe and experience and feel the presence and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our midst. So how does that happen? Well, it's all up to the preacher. Folks, don't put it on the ministry tonight. What about you? Do your part. Come with the fire of God. Come with a song. Come with a prayer. There are times I know ministers can feel like they preach and pray and sing and shout and everybody else sitting there looking at them. Folks, the Lord wants us to be on fire, that I'm going to come ready. When the Lord wants me to pray, I'm going to open my mouth and maybe I get my words twisted up, but prayer's about communication between me and God. It's not about saying everything just right. It's about something going on in our hearts. Folks, if we come to services and don't have anything going on, a meeting amongst the saints is one of the worst places to be. Because if we don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we don't have the entertainment to fill in the gaps. You know what I'm saying? So if we're not going to have life, if we're not going to have the Spirit, let's go ahead and bring in the piano, let's bring in the drums, and at least we won't have to sit in silence. You understand, I'm not advocating bringing those things in. What I'm telling us tonight, we need to get the fire of God in our life that when we come together, the Lord will be pleased in how we've been living through the week and He will bless us with His presence.
Amen.
Revival. A church on fire. Lord help us. Are we going to church, Dad? I didn't grow up asking that question. And if your children, if your family, if your neighbors have to ask you that question, I'd say the Lord has something better for you. I say the Lord has something better. I know and I recognize there are things that sometimes we can't make it. And I will say that sometimes those that are elderly, they are not able to make it. And if you are in that place tonight, don't let the devil beat you up. You understand what I'm saying? But if we are able, sometimes it takes sacrifice. It takes effort. But where would we rather be? What would we rather do? And again, remember this. If you say, well, it just seems like not getting a lot. The Lord wants to start using you. He wants to put the fire in your heart that you can make a difference. And then other people will start to be affected. And pretty soon people will come and say, I didn't know all this was going on. I'm glad I'm here. Amen? Singing. Have you ever caught yourself just saying the words and you get done with a song and kind of think, what did I just sing? I have. We want the Holy Spirit to come down and bless our song service. What am I singing about? This is an experience. This is something that's real. It's something that's true. And we have to focus. What about testimonies? You know, there is power in testifying. You want to find a dead church, you will find a church that does not testify. And I'm not just talking about here at service. I'm talking about when you go home, when you go to work. But you find a people that believe in the cause. A people that have the burn within them of the Holy Spirit. You're going to find a people unashamed and want to stand up and testify what God has been doing. In days of old, the Scripture says, they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. There is power in testifying. I was struggling this week. And by the grace of God, I want to be true and I want to be faithful. You know, there's power in that. Testifying brings accountability. And if we don't want accountability, why not? See, what do we want to get away with is not a source of strength that we can find in each other to be strengthened by testifying and acknowledging needs that we have in our life. Faithful, committed, attentive, responsive. That is a church on fire. You know, it ought to be. And I don't want anybody to feel beat up on tonight. I love all of you, and I hope you love me. that it is difficult. I'll tell you, one of the things that makes preaching so much easier is when there's an anointed song service, an anointed prayer, just opening up the doors and paving the way, and it seems like it's so much easier. It makes preaching so much easier. And when people come among us, maybe that aren't normally in service, do they find us sitting on the minister, or do they find a people that are just, I'm soaking it in, I'm looking for something in agreement? And you know, this is just a question, please don't answer, but how long has it been since you have said, praise the Lord? How long has it been since you, amen? How long has it been since you were singing a song and you felt the inspiration in your heart and, look around and what's everybody going to think? Do you know there's nothing wrong tonight? I just want to encourage you. There's nothing wrong with putting your hand in the air. Because it's an acknowledgement, Lord, this is my experience. But I want to tell you something else it is. There are some songs we sing and they about get me every time. It's like, Lord, that's what I want. Lord, that's what I want. I'm not saying I have it all, but Lord, that's the heart desire of my heart. I want You to rest in greater glory in my life. Oh, it's an acknowledgement. Folks, there's value in praise tonight. There's value in acknowledging that. Let everything that hath breath do what? Praise the Lord. Do you know that is part of demonstration of a church that's on fire? Now, we live in a time where there's a charismatic movement. And that scares people. Because we don't want to, it's not about emotionalism. But I want to tell you what the devil has done. We don't want to be associated with that. And so we sit there with our lips zipped. If anybody has the right to praise God, it's God's people. If anybody has the right to say hallelujah, it's people that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb because I've been set free. Amen? See, it's not then we're not going to go over to this way and we don't want to go over to this extreme, but I want to be in the place that the fire of the Holy Spirit's burning in my life. And if you have such that personality and you sit there, you don't have to be like Brother Carl. You don't have to jump over the altar bench. But you know what you need to do? You need to praise. You need to do however God wants you to do it. But be open. Let the Lord work in your life. It's not about trying to emulate somebody else. It's not about putting someone on a guilt trip and say you need to be more like him or her. No, this is about saying, Lord, I want to be so connected with the presence of God that when I hear the truth being preached and it resonates in my heart, that I'm not afraid to acknowledge. Amen. Not afraid to acknowledge where God has been working. The Lord wants us to be a contributing, integral part. An integral part. It's a danger signal when you start talking about your local congregation as them instead of us. Alright? Well, I think that they are having a meeting. The warning lights ought to be going off. If you live here, we're having a meeting. You understand what I'm saying? Because when we start to say they, we're putting distance. I'm not quite sure I want to be an integral part. And the question is then, what is causing the distance? Are there some walls and some barriers that the Holy Ghost wants to start breaking down that we could be a church on fire like the Lord wants? City set on a hill that cannot be hid. We have a responsibility in giving. Thank you. We have a responsibility. Do you know? Oh, there's preachers talking about giving. I want to tell you, I have found in some countries that's all the preachers talk about. I've asked them in Kenya, in Tanzania, I've been some places, and I say, and we have ministers coming from all different types of groups and denominations. And come, I'm glad they're there. I want them there. I want them to hear some truth. They're not always happy with me either when I get done. But they, and I say, what are they preaching to the people? And the people are saying all they preach about almost every Sunday is give, give, give. Buy me a new set of clothes. They were pulling scriptures out of the Old Testament where the people of Israel had to get Aaron and his sons new clothes, and the preachers were teaching that as doctrine of their congregations. So they have the best clothes in the bunch.
all of them were not happy when we finished discussing that issue scripturally. But what there is a responsibility to do is to give unto the Lord. Not grudgingly or of necessity, but give because I love the Lord and I want to be an integral part. And I'm asking the congregation now, is it okay if I address this for just a minute? Just a few, okay.
Amen.
You know, I found and observed that sometimes the ministers, they go off and have meetings or go somewhere. And, you know, every time, sometimes you think, well, they're off having a meeting, so we don't need to support them this week. You know, the ministers need to eat too. I'm not talking about myself here. You don't have to give me a dime. That's all right. You understand what I'm saying. I want us to learn something here. Because we don't talk about it. It makes it uncomfortable for a preacher to talk about that. But what the problem is that sometimes people just think, well, they're going off to a meeting, and so the minister goes 2 weeks without getting any offering because they're off having a meeting. And what some people don't understand is some meetings the ministers go to, it costs us a lot more money to go than what comes in the offering. And all the time the local congregation is saying, well, they're off in a meeting, so... No, I want to encourage all of us. We have a responsibility to, number one, keep the home fires burning. It costs money to have the electric on. It costs money to have a pastor and support them that their focus could be on the work of God and the gospel. That responsibility starts in a local congregation and then it broadens out from there to other ministries and other gospel works. But it starts at home. A church on fire, you're going to find a people that are a sacrificial people. A people that give. And again, you know what sacrifice is? I think I told this last time I was here. I'm going to tell it again. We had some folks come and give us a Thanksgiving dinner. And I don't mean to sound ungrateful, please. But they came and they wanted a needy family and we were chosen. And they came and gave us a Thanksgiving dinner. And we opened up the sacks and all of the cans were expired. And the box of stovetop dressing, a mouse had eaten into the box. And I thought, well, they went out and they cleaned up their cupboards of the things they didn't want and brought it to a needy family. And I thought, Lord, sacrificial giving is when you give when it hurts. I'm not giving extra. I'm not giving of just my abundance. I'm giving when I feel it. When it hurts. The Lord wants us to live that way, saints. A church on fire because I have a purpose. I have a zeal. I want to see the work of God go forward. And folks, it takes temporal things for the work of God to go forward. Amen. And then when God blesses, it's a joint effort. We can all rejoice because we all had a part together. Church on fire. I know that kind of subject isn't real popular, but I want to be able to feel and experience the fire of God when I go into the congregation of the saints. I have been places, and if you ask me where it was, I won't tell you. I have been places that I wanted to get up and leave because there was a drain on the fire that I felt like I had brought, that I came with. And by the time you're sitting in there in service, and I just felt zapped. The devil, number one, will do that sometimes. Yeah. All right? The devil will do that. But I want to challenge us tonight to take personal responsibility in our service to God. And folks, this isn't about just what's going on within these four walls. This comes about by living the life at home. This comes about by being on fire at home and at work and at school. And then the Holy Spirit will come and bless us collectively as a people. Do you understand? Because if we try to manufacture something here and we come together, oh, the preacher said we need to do this and act. No. You be led by the Holy Spirit, but get plugged in. Get plugged in. And if there's anything standing in the way, Lord help us. I didn't know I was going to go this long tonight. You know what the condition of many people is? It's like it was with the Laodiceans. They were lukewarm. They weren't hot. And they weren't cold. And so my question by the Holy Spirit tonight is, if you were to look at your thermostat
your spiritual thermostat, where is it at? Are you on fire? Do you feel the burn inside when you hear truth being preached? Do you feel the burn when you go home that, Lord, I want to serve You acceptably? And the Lord comes along and shows us things and reveals things. And it's, Lord, I may not be there yet, but Lord, I want to get there. I don't want to be lukewarm. Folks, the devil is trying to cause us to be a tepid people. A lukewarm people. And the Lord wants us to be fervent and zealous. A people that the world could look on and say, those people are different.
Amen.
They're on fire. They've got connected with God. Church at Ephesus, they were a good people. They had a lot of good things about them. But nevertheless, the Lord had somewhat against them because they had left what? They had left their first love. Tonight, how is our love for God? Fervent love? Do you still have that excited, you know, when considering getting married? And I remember the miles I drove. I remember the sacrifices that were made because there's someone that had won my heart. I remember the Lord won my heart too. And I wonder tonight, do you still have that fervent love for God? Do you know the Lord still loves us tonight? And if we cannot say, I know my thermostat, I know I'm not like it used to be, and you haven't backslid, okay? I haven't backslid and I'm still doing right, but it just seems like I'm just kind of pressing along, and the Lord wants to rekindle tonight. The fervency. He wants you to renew your consecration to God. He wants you to renew your dedication, that you could have a renewed purpose and a renewed zeal, that we could individually and as a people be a church on fire. And it starts with us examining our life. Folks, this is where the joy. This is where the joy of life comes from. It's when you are in love with the Lord and with His cause, and it gives you a reason to get up in the morning. It's because I know the Lord's going to be there, and it gives me purpose and vision and desire and zeal, and it brings about sacrifice. That's what the Lord is calling for all of us in whatever place in the body we are to fill, that we could be a church on fire. Where's your thermostat at tonight?